We'll be reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, let's read verses 11 through 13. Paul said, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." In this reading of this text, we find two very important and very basic Christian doctrines. Number one, the fact that the Holy Spirit is deity. Look at verses 10 and 11 and notice very carefully what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit, that is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, who else could search the deep things of God but deity Himself? Then look at verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" That is just a very simple illustration that means that the only one who really knows what is inside of you is you, your spirit. Now, of course, you can share with other people what is inside of you. And oftentimes, what is inside of us comes out, even though we may not intend for it to do so or be aware that we've revealed ourselves. But as far as what is really inside of us is concerned, the only person that really knows everything that is inside of your heart and your spirit is you. And so he says, in the same way, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. The only one who knows really and truly the things of God from beginning to end, so to speak, is the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we say that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is why the Bible talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this way. For instance, in Matthew 28, verse 19, the Bible says, "To go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that we see in this section is the very important doctrine of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. And then, number two, we find the very important and very basic doctrine of the inspiration of the Bible. Now, this is one of the most important doctrines of Christianity, because if you remove the doctrine of the inspiration of the Bible away from Christianity, then Christianity is going to fall. It's that important. Notice what he says in verse 13, and here's where the Bible does teach where the Bible came from, where the Scriptures are from, and that the Holy Ghost is responsible for giving us the Bible. Verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak." Well, what is he talking about when he says these things were the things that they spoke? Well, as you go back in the context of verse 9, you'll notice that he continually talks about the things of God, the things of God. Notice in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Now, as we noticed in the last lesson, verse 9 is not a specific reference to heaven. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him refers to the gospel. And so the things of God in verse 9 refer to the teachings or the doctrine of the New Testament. Notice again in verse 10, "But God has revealed them," that is these things, "unto us by His Spirit." Well, how did the Holy Spirit and how does the Holy Spirit reveal these things? Well, he's going to discuss that, especially in verse 13. But notice that he continues to talk about these things, the deep things of God, in verse 10. Then in verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." Again, notice in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 13 now, "which things also we speak." So he's obviously here talking about the gospel. He's talking about the New Testament. And notice what he says about it. He says in verse 13, "which things also we speak." And he says, "we don't speak these things of God in the words which man's wisdom teaches." The things of the gospel did not come from human wisdom. Men didn't think these things up. Men did not invent and imagine the stories and the teachings in the Bible. Now, an excellent commentary on what we're looking at here is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. And I want to read this again to shed light on what we're looking at here, because that is exactly Peter's point, and he goes into it in more detail than Paul does. But this is exactly what Peter is talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." Well, that's very similar to, if not the same as, Paul saying that they spoke the things of the gospel, but not from man's wisdom. Peter said, "We did not get these ideas from cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And then he talks about the fact that they were with him. Peter and James and John were with him in the Holy Mount, sometimes called the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. And he said, "We saw and we heard." And not only that, he says in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." Now notice what he says in verses 20 and 21. In verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Peter didn't say that we're not supposed to interpret the Bible privately. He says that the Scriptures are not from or of any private interpretation. He says, "No prophecy of the Scripture is of," that is, no prophecy of the Scripture comes from, "any private interpretation." Now, what that means is this. Peter's not talking about what you do with the Scriptures and how you read the Scriptures. Peter is talking about the origin, not the interpretation of Scripture. He's not talking about what you do with the Scriptures. He's talking about where the Scriptures come from. And so the idea of private interpretation here is not the interpretation of the Bible. The private interpretation is man's own imagination. It's man's own inventiveness. And that is exactly what he said in the context here, and how that they did not follow cunningly devised fables or go by some private interpretation. Now, we know this because in the very next verse, in verse 21, he says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That is exactly what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible did not come from man's own cunningly devised fables. The Scriptures did not originate with man's private interpretation. The Bible did not come from the will of man, verse 21. But the Bible did come through men and by men who were moved, that is, they were born along, they were guided by the Holy Spirit as they spoke and they wrote those things. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and let that shed some light on what we're looking at here. Notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, that he says, "We speak these things, but not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which," that is, "in words which the Holy Ghost teaches." So the Holy Spirit did not just give the writers of the Bible a general idea and then leave it up to them to explain it or interpret it any way that they wanted to. He didn't just give them a thought or a feeling and then leave them on their own. He guided them to write the words that they wrote from their own style, their own experience, and their own personality. This means that the writers of the Bible said, and what they wrote was from God, because the Holy Spirit guided them in what they said and what they wrote. Now, here's some points to consider about this. If a man believes in God, he ought to believe the Bible. Sometimes you run into people who say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not sure that I believe in the Bible. Well, here's a simple question. If God can create this universe and sustain this universe, then surely don't you believe that God is able to give us the Bible and preserve the Bible for us? And sometimes we hear people say, but the Bible has been copied so many times and recopied that it's been miscopied and changed over the years. Now, of course, one of the questions to ask people is, well, can you prove that? You know, sometimes people say things about the Bible that they have no idea of how to even start to try to prove their point. For instance, there are people that say the Bible contradicts itself. And if you ask them, well, where does the Bible contradict itself? They don't even have an idea about what they're talking about. They can't even give you one so-called example. And sometimes when people say that the Bible has been miscopied, that it's been changed, if you ask them, well, how do you know that? And where has it been changed? They have no idea of what they're talking about, and that's very evident the longer that they talk. So the Bible tells us that in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus promised. God promises that he will preserve his word. And the simple point is, if God can create and maintain this universe, then God can certainly give us the Bible and he can certainly preserve the Bible. Now, one of the questions, of course, that people ask is, well, how do you know? How are you sure that the Bible is the inspired word of God? Well, the Bible proves itself to be from God. And there's no way that we have time to go into this. But the many prophecies that are fulfilled, the foreknowledge of science that is found in the Bible hundreds of years before men were able to deduce these things, the great unity of the Bible, and many other marks or characteristics of inspiration are evidence that the Bible must have been written from God. Now, we expect people that are atheists and skeptics to deny the inspiration of the Bible. But the sad fact is that there are more and more people who claim to be Christians that deny the inspiration of the Bible, either in whole or in part. And I'd like to ask some questions right now to those people who say that they're Christians, but they don't really believe the Bible is true. If you don't think the Bible is inspired, then how do you know what to believe and what to teach and what to do as a Christian? If you think the Bible may not be right, then how do you know what to believe about Jesus? If you believe God gave us a flawed book, don't you think that that would be highly unfair and against God's nature? And if you doubt the inspiration of the Bible, why are you a follower of Jesus and not a follower of Islam, Buddhism, or Hinduism? These are questions that need to be raised today to anyone who would deny that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.